I suggest to you, the counsel of God is, my counsel of God is, let the knowledge of the will of God come over you. Let the understanding of the spiritual warfare of God just encompass you. Become a mighty warrior for God, but the best sheep that has ever been on planet Earth. You know what I know about true, godly men that are great leaders? They are the best followers there are. They know how to follow. That's how come they can lead. That's right. Come, you children, hearken to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life? How many of y'all want to live? Raise your hand. Really? If you desire life, well, see, that means you. All right? It says in here, how many of y'all love days and you'd like to see a long lifestyle, longevity, and you'd like to see your grandkids and grandkids, grandkids, and no. And listen, there you go. There's a few more of you. That's all right. See, I want to see good. Good here that I've been able to find out by studying does not mean to be rich and wealthy and famous and some kind of a powerful giant. Good here is the kind of good the Bible says about Jesus when he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what the Holy Ghost is in us for. That's what it's for, to do good. That's to go around and help in any capacity that we can, in any way we can, and just be there and constantly be a force. I mean, that man, when I went in there and he had that bamboo shoot stuck through him, he didn't need a great surgeon. He needed Jesus. If you want all that, look at verse 13. First phrase says, shut up. It might say it in a few different words than that. But it says, shut up. You've got to learn how to control your tongue if you intend on seeing the good of the power of God flow through you. You want to see the good, you want to see a long life and longevity, and you want to do something for God, shut up. Let God have his way with you. It says right here, keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking guile. The sad thing about a Christian, when they first get saved, everything's great. And then it rolls around there a while where everything's just honey. And it's good. Oh boy, thank you, Jesus. But then all of a sudden, you wake up one morning and you know something. And somebody does something against you. Oh, man, did y'all see what that idiot done to me? Well, God would have never done that. Evil begins to come out of your mouth, and guile speaking begins to roll forth like a river. That's the devil from hell. You won't live long, and you won't have the power of God. Here in verse 14, it says, depart from evil. I mean, and there's another verse, I can't remember where it's at right this second, but y'all know it. It says, even depart from any appearance of evil. Anybody quote that to me? Where it's at? I don't remember right now. Yeah, where's that at, though? I know what it says. I need to know where it's at. I can't remember right now. It ain't coming to my mind. That's all right. Y'all think about it. Somebody give it to me in a minute. Depart from evil and do what? Good. Do what? All right. We know devils are going to do bad. Why? Because they're devils. Devils are devils. But you and I, we don't want to be no devil. We want to do good. We want to be filled with the life and the power of God Almighty. So we got to walk around here and prove the goodness of God. Stop doing evil. Do good. And then something's going to happen to you. It says right here, seek peace and pursue after it. See, it's easy to do evil. Anybody can do that. Devils do that. But it's a bit harder to do good. It's a little bit harder to seek after the peace side of things. It's a little bit harder to allow the pursuit of godliness to be in your spirit and you maintain that thought. That's just a little bit harder. Oh yeah, so I got written down here something I'm going to tell y'all about. I'm going to tell them about the black magic warlock, Brother Steve. Is that all right? You know the guy that got... Huh? Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. I think it's time for it. I think after all these hours of me preaching to them, they're finally ready to hear this. going to be hard for some of y'all, but we'll forgive you for that. Because see, what happened was, we began to see the powers of God flowing. And I'd only heard about it, read about it in the Bible, and I'd only heard about it through certain ministers. I don't know very many people still, but I know a lot more than I used to. But I began to hear about moves of God. But then I found myself wrapped up all inside of one of them. And I didn't have any theology. I didn't have any doctrine for it. So I didn't try to get any. But as years started going by, and we began to see more and more people raised from the dead, and healings of all sorts begin to take place, I began to inside form a doctrine on dead raising. And I thought it'd be nice for me to get this doctrine put on paper and, you know, send it across the world and everything. Then everybody knows you can't do it, and here's how you need to do it. Well, the minute I get anything solid down that I, you know, when God starts doing something peculiar, I've noticed right in the middle of it, he'll change and start going right straight against what it's the most, I tell you, it makes me mad. And you say to me, well, you ain't got the right to get mad when God's doing what he wants to. I know I don't. So why do you? Don't point your finger at me, well, why do you do it? I'm one of these guys who will flip it back in your face. And you have to deal with it just as well as me. So, well, here's what happened. We got to going along here, and there was this guy. There's always somebody that's mad. For some reason, you just can't have 100% unity. There's always 2, 3, 4, 5. There's somebody hostile all the time. And so there was a witch doctor. And boy, he got mad at me. I mean, he got mad at me, and I'm glad he was mad. I really am. But you see, he had two boys. They're actually men, because he's the elderly fellow. And they got saved. Well, when them boys got saved, he really got mad. I mean, he went to them and told them, you will deny this Jesus, and you will deny this Jesus now. Well, both of them said, Pop, look, all respect to you and everything, you're our elder and everything like that, but you're going down the way of Corium, you're following devils, and we're not going with you. Well, he got mad. He went out there and started fasting, praying, and conjuring up demons and messing around, and all of a sudden, both those boys got sick. Right? Men. They were men. They were in their mid-20s and early 30s, one of them. So they were sick. I mean, they had these diseases. And this guy, he said, see what your God did for you? All the time, it was him messing with them, you see. So the Christians, we went over there, we prayed for him. No good. Finally, that old man, he got so mad, he started cursing God. And I'm not going to tell you the words he used. That's too scary for me to say. I hate to even have them run through my brain. That's too scary. This guy started cursing God, and all of a sudden one time, the pastors, I wasn't there at this one, pastors was over there praying, and the old man, now get this, both the sicknesses got off the two boys, they were instantly healed, and both the sicknesses, right in the old man. They started praying for him. He's cursing God. He's cursing the pastors. He's cursing me. He's cursing everybody. Now, in my little theology that I had schemed up in my brain over this dead raising, goodbye, devil. You're getting exactly what you deserve. And I'm glad. You hate God, you hate me, you hate these people, you hate your own children. You're a God hater. The Bible talks about God haters. They're parts in a lake of fire. Well, God loves people even when I don't. So the pastor's all left, and this guy was getting his guns and stuff, that's machetes and all that. See, our job is to seek peace. Our job in verse 14 is to pursue peace. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. I want you to know right now, that even though it's been a long time, and you've been sick, and you've been afflicted, and you've been harassed, you've been hurt, people's messing with you, I'm telling you, God's eyes are watching. You might as well rest. You might as well let God have control of your life. You might as well go ahead and let the Holy Ghost take control. Because He's with you. Pursue the peace. You look to yourself and go after the peace. Don't go after the frustration and the troublemakers. Go after Jesus. Okay? So these guys are there, and oh, Daddy, he's... Now look, you got to understand something about Daddy, the witch doctor that's sick. He's never read a Bible. He won't even allow it in his house. He's never heard a passage of Scripture, period. Okay, y'all got that? Everybody understand that? That's important for you to understand it, because at the end of the story, you're going to be slap-dab amazed. You're fixing to be impressed with Jesus. I can promise you, impressed is the right word. All right. The old man got worse and worse and worse. He really got bad. He finally got down. His last breath out of his mouth. I hate you. Talking to his son. I hate David. That's me. I hate John. That's the pastor. And I hate God. He fell dead. Wow, huh? According to everything you know and your theology teaches you, that man deserves fire. He deserves. I mean, he was very critical. He was very obnoxious. He was aggressive. He'd draw his knife, his machete on. He'd whip the brothers with it. I mean, this guy was rough. Rough. But so is the Holy Ghost. You don't mess with the peacemaker. But a lot of times before you find peace, you find storm. You don't mess with God. You mess with God, you're going to find yourself fighting the Creator. You find yourself fighting the Creator, you find yourself dead and in hell. Now then, the son never took offense in his dad. The one son got mad and left. He couldn't handle it. But the younger one, I mean, he had compassion for his dad. It was the most amazing. This guy, his ability and his compassion for people that don't love God and God haters, it's way out past me. This man has a touch from God to care about people that are just the ones everybody else wants to throw away. I don't know how he could do it. And he sits down there and he held on to his daddy's hand. Started at 9 o'clock at night when his daddy died, and he started praying in the name of Jesus. God, I don't know much about you. I haven't been saved very long, but I know this. My daddy hated you. My daddy hated me. My daddy hated these preachers. But God, have mercy, Holy God. Please have mercy on my daddy. That went on for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. At 3 o'clock in the morning, the old man bounced back. Was you from the dead? But it was not the man that had died and left. It was a new creature in Christ Jesus. New creature in Christ Jesus. All right. I was so impressed with God raising a black magic warlock that was a God hater from the dead. I asked him, because I don't deal much in this what you see after death stuff. Because everybody sees it. Everybody dies, sees some great vision. But I don't mess with them. I pretty much stay away from them, because I'll be chasing after visions and angels instead of the true master. I've got to keep my mind clear and straight. That's my opinion. That's the way I do it. You don't have to do whatever you want to. Follow every path that comes along. It's not going to hurt me. I'm following Jesus. But because of the intensity of this situation, and I was so mad, because my whole doctrine was now destroyed, no, I don't have a doctrine on dead raising. We just do it. No doctrine. All you that want to know, well, what's the doctrine behind it? Read the Bible. There's 8 or 10 places in there it talks about it. That's your doctrine. Don't do nothing else. No more, no less. Just do what it says. Because what Jesus did, what Elijah did, what Paul did, what Peter did, that's the way to do it. That's how you do it. Don't worry with me and all these stories. You just look in that book right there, but that's something you can. I'm going back to Mexico pretty soon, but this right here you can have in your hand and tangibly hold it and look at it, all right? But I was so impressed with God changing my theology. I went to the old man and I said to him, all right, it's evident that God has touched your life. And I mean, he couldn't even, his gratitude, his humility, simply, I don't know how to say it, they were astounding. I'd walk in the room, he'd fall on his knees and just grab me on the legs and hang on him, cry and weep and pray. I mean, to see that from the other guy is a phenomenal thing. You understand me? To see a man that's so humble and so filled with the mercy and grace of God, compared to what that man that was so brazen and so brash, he's against God and God people, and he knows it all, and he's bad, he's got all the understanding, to see him down on his knees like that and crying, it just is scary. It's the fear of God will come on you to see that. Because God manipulates people's hearts. Did you hear me? And if enough prayer and fasting put into it, he'll change the worst devil of hell. Or either he'll take him out. Our choice always is take them out, God. But that's not always God's choice. We've got to learn to let God be God. And let us be servants and children and sheep and follow goodness and peace. Follow after the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Right? Because you see, listen. They brought me that verse up here. Turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll read that. If I can find Thessalonians, we will. Yeah. See, it's scriptural for us to want to do what's right, regardless of how we feel about it. See, that son understood this very much. That's how come he got his daddy back. But what I'm going to tell you in just a minute is really going to really, I'm telling you, it's very powerful. It's very outstanding, and I imagine a lot of you people will be changed eternally because of it. Really, really. Look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I will just read a couple of these. Verse 19, quench not the spirit, do not despise prophesying. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that that's good. 22. Abstinence from evil is what we got to go for, y'all. See, if you don't, you'll be ruined by the devil. Doesn't matter if you're the devil, it doesn't matter if you're the Christian. You got to abstain from what the appearance of evil is. That's highly, highly respected by the Holy Ghost. It's called integrity. Ministerial integrity. You got to have it in your life to be an influence on other people. And that's what that son was doing. That man, I mean, it was God for that boy to keep on praying. He wasn't offended. He wasn't hurt. I mean, he got your daddy cursing you, cursing your God, cursing everybody you love, and then he dies on you, and you just keep on praying for him. Well, keep on praying for him for 6 hours, and then he comes back from the dead. That's wonderful. So I asked the old man, I said, listen to me, Pop. While you listen to this, I want you to turn somewhere in the Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Because something happened while that old man was dead. He was suspended up here because the boy's prayers held him from going to hell. He was suspended, right? And while he was there, to him, he said it was just a moment of time, but it was 6 hours. This great, magnificent light came up, and he turned to look at it. And when he saw it, he saw this light. Now, he had never, ever read the Bible in his life. But I'm going to read to you what he described to me. You find it in Revelation chapter 1. All right? Let me find it right quick. It's right here. Verse 13. This is what the man saw. He described to me Revelations 1, 13, 14, and 15. And it says it like this. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like white wool, as white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. This old man began to talk to me, and he began to tell me about this great being that was standing in front of him, glowing. He said he had long hair and it was white. He said, I've never seen anything like it, Brother David. He said, who is this man? He said his eyes were a furnace of fire. He had a long cloak on and had gold band around his waist. His feet were like a burning brass. I'm reading it right out of the Bible right here, who he is. The man don't even know who he is. He said, and his head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto a fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice, he told me, he said, Brother David, you should have heard his voice. It was like the greatest thunders and the greatest storms I've ever heard. I said, my God. Now I'm down on the floor quivering. Seriously. I said, All right. We got the right person here. All right. No doubt about it. We're in the ballpark. All right. This is the right thing. This is the real McCoy. All right. Now. Okay. All right. What do you think? What do y'all think he said? He didn't say but three words. Tell them to me. That's right. When Jesus spoke to that man, he said three words. I love you. And when he said that, that man was brought back to life instantaneously. The love of Jesus is so powerful that no dead can stand before it. You must be alive. Do you understand that? And when he came back to life, he grabbed his son. They didn't even know how to lead him to the Lord. They were brand new Christians. He was already saved in his heart. It was just a matter of confession out of his mouth. So they ran and got that preacher 1.5 hours, 1.5 hours back, 3 hours. The whole time they're gone, that man is on the floor, on his hands and knees, crying, puddles of tears, stammering lips. The Holy Ghost was all over that guy. He didn't know nothing about no Holy Ghost, and nobody ever prayed with him. Oh, he was in the presence of Jesus. You hear me, church? Man, what a God. So that pastor came back over there, and walking in a room with this guy. When you walk in a room with him, the presence of God, it almost slays you. I'm serious, almost knocks you out. I mean, this guy was with Jesus. Lay hands on him in Jesus' name, you know, to get saved. And he confesses Jesus is Lord. And I mean, he's the most humble guy you've ever met. It's fabulous. It's fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous. 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 I'm telling you right now, it's fabulous. I'm telling you right now, it's fabulous. Whether you believe the Bible or not, to talk to somebody like that are quoting Bible, they don't even know, have never even looked in the cover of one. And they're quoting it word for word. Just like John on the Isle of Patmos. He turned around and he saw Jesus. This old man, he was being held by his son's prayers. And when he turned around, there was Jesus, the same Jesus. Do you understand that? Are you getting this yet? The Bible says in Hebrews, or is it 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and when? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, church. What a God. I'm absolutely impressed. You don't mind? Turn with me, please. Unless y'all are tired of doing all this flipping around.